Raised Rowdy. All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I am Nikki T.
My name is Kurt Ozon.
And our guest this week, Mr. Brad Tersey. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. We were just talking before this a little bit about cigars, Crown Head Cigars. Kurt brought you a prize pack there.
Yeah, I think I've smoked. The only one I haven't smoked is this one.
The Juarez?
Yeah.
So Juarez is like one of their like lower end in terms of price point, but great sticks.
Yeah.
If you've had the Mil Diaz, it's from the same factory.
This one is like the original.
OG. Yeah. Four kicks. They're great. But yeah, proudly sponsored by Crown Head Cigars. We love them.
Yeah, man.
If we were, Nick and I are members over at Smokers Abbey in East.
Dude, I can literally walk there and like a minute from my house.
Right. Like, we saw you there one time.
Oh, okay.
Like, what was this, like?
Maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, if not more, probably.
Yeah.
And we're like, we should get Brad on the pod one day. And then the email came across our desk. It was like, Brad pod. We're like, hell yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place, man, I was there from the day they opened the door. You know, they were only half of that place. And then they have the bar. And they got a great little thing going over there.
Yeah.
They're open late. People are always hanging out over there.
Oh, yeah. Kurt's there late sometimes, and they just won't tell him to leave because he's there enough, you know? Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah, like Josh will, like, keep it open. And, like, I've been there, like, after a wedding, all sauced up and, like, let's get a cigar, you know?
Yeah.
And,
it's cool.
Like, just hang with the owner until whatever. So it's like, all right, it's time to call an Uber and get out of here.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But it's a great spot.
Yeah.
I love it because it's, like, it's not pretentious at all.
Exactly.
Anyone could come in there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Man. Totally.
I mean, like, we can go in there, and even people like Brad can go in there.
Oh, yeah. Shut up.
But yeah, thanks for hopping out here. Yeah. I know it's a little bit outside of the city, but
this
we
my,
appreciate it.
A good excuse to I bought a 69 Camaro like 6 months ago.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
And it's been so hot. It's got no AC.
Yeah.
And it's just been a little too hot the past like couple weeks.
Yeah.
But you gotta keep those things running. So I was like, all right, today is not that hot. So I drove it up here.
Yeah. Today, so. Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, I'll have to look at it before you leave.
Oh yeah, man. I love the thing. It's amazing.
There's this two-door Jeep for sale, like, on my block, and it's got, like, it has nothing on it, like, barely a roof kind of a thing. You know, it's, like, a expensive golf cart. It's so cool, and it's got, like, this awesome fabric seats,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, should I buy that? Like,
how much is it?
I don't know. I haven't checked yet. But I run by it, like, every day,
yeah.
Like, when I'm, like, doing my exercise. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know anything about wrenching on cars or something. Mm-hmm. And something like that, it's like old, so it's like...
Oh,
Kurt
dude.
Needs a new car.
See, the thing is, I like yes. I was not like car guy, you know? Like I just like was like, you know what? I need a toy. Like I want something cool.
Yeah.
So I like kind of got into it a little bit. And then I finally bought this thing, and it showed up like at 9:30 at night. Like I got trailed up from Florida. And the guy who drove it was like, I don't know where he was from, but I kept on trying to text him. He wouldn't respond to me. And I'm like, you know, we're out of this car, you know? He pulls up in front of my house and is like smoking a cigarette. And he just rolls out the window and he goes, Camaro. Like, I was like, Jesus, man, where you been all that?
Hell yeah, dude.
So, but then I took it to the gas station because, like, I got to go for a little drive
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, test it.
And I literally didn't even know, like, I'm like, where is the gas cap on this damn thing? Like, and I hear from, like, the darkness, somebody's like, it's under the license plate. She must have been watching me trying to find it, you know?
That's so cool.
So it was hilarious. It's been a good, like, learning experience, the whole thing. So now I'm like, oh, I want another one, you know?
Yeah. That would be me. I'd get a car like that. It would be like manual transmission. I'd be like, fuck.
My dream car is a car that my dad had back in the day. And it's not like it's like a hot rod or anything. He had a 78 Ford Pinto cruising wagon.
Oh, jeez.
And really what I loved about it was the back windows, instead of regular back windows of a like a wagon, it had a porthole. And then the color scheme was basically like Surfside. It was like those like retro-y looking colors.
Yeah.
So but it just wasn't retro at the time. It was modern.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was regular.
There was like some crappy Volvo on my street the other day. I was like, at one point, this was like this, like, the check car. Out this car. Yeah. It's like the ugliest thing on the earth.
That's like, I had a Mustang. I had like an 05 Mustang, but I remember the Mustangs in the 90s and they were really straight up. They looked like an Escort. They were just a box.
It went through a bad it was, time.
But now boxy stuff's back in style. I mean, the boxy trucks are definitely, but the cars are starting to come back too. It's wild.
And now Mustangs are SUVs, apparently.
Yeah, you know how it goes. Everything's an
SUV. Oh, yeah, it's
now.
An electric SUV.
Yeah. There's no cars anymore. Manufacturers aren't making many cars. It's all SUVs and compact, like, SUVs.
Yeah, because I drive an SUV. You drive an SUV.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. Yeah. I mean, I'm not driving that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just that's where the market is. You got to have the space to do it, but you also... I think there's different rules for gas mileage on the SUVs than there are for cars as well.
Yeah, that's like some loophole that I'm just... That's above my pay grade. I don't know anything about that stuff.
I'm just here so I don't get fined, you know?
I know. I was thinking... I'm just not a car guy, really. And like sometimes when I see certain types of cars, like I'm sure if I was in your Camaro, I'd be like, I want this, you know? Yeah. And I've always been like, man, what's the deal with motorcycles? It's like, you know, insurance is expensive and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and dangerous. And then I got on one and I rode it and I went, oh my God, I love motorcycles now.
Man, see, that's the two guys in Old Dominion, Jeff and Matt, they've gotten way into it. So they bring their bikes out on the road.
Oh, that's
but
crazy.
I've already crashed like two scooters, like straight up, like, and I'm like, I am not getting a motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. Way. I know. I'm like, look at the trees. You know, I'm like a daydreamer, and
I'm that same way.
You gotta be focused in on what's going on.
Yeah, my buddies that do it are like it's a whole different thing. It's like it's like mentally exhausting to drive places, because you have to be so like hyper focused.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
I will say though, the one time I did ride a motorcycle is my buddy Brad, different Brad. Was he was like, dude, you want to take one of these hogs out? Whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, I have no idea, man. I don't know how to. I've never, you know, I've ridden a bicycle, you know, or like a scooter. And he's like, dude, they drive themselves. And he's like, this is the clutch, and this is how you change gears. And, okay, so we get on this thing. I put the helmet on, and we're in White House up there. It's like spring day. It's beautiful. The roads are like, so we get on and. We pop out on the road, and the first car we drive by is the sheriff.
Oh, my God.
And so the sheriff waves, and I can't take my hands off the handlebars to wave at the sheriff. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to do it. And then we get to the first turn. I'm like, I don't know how to turn it. I know it sounds stupid, don't know how to turn, but it was like, I've never turned before, you know?
No, dude, I mean.
And my buddy's like, the bike will just take care of it. And I just like, I was like, okay, here we go, bike. And I just kind of leaned, hoping it would do it. And the bike just went, and it just went around this curve. And we're just off these country roads. And I were just, it was awesome.
It feels very natural, especially if you're used to riding a bicycle. It's kind of similar. Yeah. But I was the same way. I took the class to get my license back in Pennsylvania when I lived there. And I was like, nah, this is not for me. You know,
see, like, I'd rather have a convertible. Like, I'd like to take the class just so, like, just in case I'm like in Vietnam or something, and I want to ride like a dirt bike somewhere. Yeah. Like, at least I know how to do it. And I mean, my dad had Harleys and stuff growing up, so I've ridden like around the block, you know, a couple times.
But, yeah,
you know, like it's not hard to learn the basics, but. Then you have to, like, what happens if, like, someone slams on their brakes, you know, and you're not used to, like, dealing with that kind of stuff? Then it's
my life is going too good right now for me to get a motorcycle. Yeah. You know? That's like God's way of saying you're doing too
That's
good.
That's when you know it's bad. You're like, I'm getting a motorcycle.
Yeah. You're too happy right now, Kurt. It's time to, you know, function.
Get on two
up.
Wheels instead of four. Yeah.
No, thanks, man. Got the job going, you know, got a house. I'm like, let's just chill.
Yeah.
I'm not snowboarding. I'm sure it's fine. I don't want to miss a bunch of shows with a rotator cuff injury. You know, I don't want
actually, I just came from physical therapy on my rotator Shoulder. Cuff's messed up. Yeah.
Motorcycle accident? Or?
No, just old. just old. Yeah.
That'll happen.
Both of my rotators are messed up, and they kind of have been since high school. But, you know, as you get old, they start getting a little worse.
It's like Louis C.K. is like, hey, doc, like, my ankle hurts. And he's like, yep, He's like, how do we fix that? He's like, you don't. It's like, just, you're just fucked now.
Well, my doctors were like, can you sleep all right? Yeah. They're like, are you going to be playing like aggressive sports anymore? I'm like, no. They're like, you're cool. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
I don't know, but when you, you know, if you're like working out and you're like, oh, I can't do that, it's kind of a bummer. You know?
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
I'm just like a hypochondriac in general, though. So it's like anything that's wrong with me, I'm like, oh, no.
Trying to get it
fixed. It's over. Yeah. It's, yeah, the, yeah. It's the end. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Times. And you Google it and then you're really bad about it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't Google it. Or I just get in my head and I start having all of the things that it said. Symptoms of it.
Can you swear on this thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude,
yeah.
I like the other, like a few months ago, I got so hammered at our tour manager's house. Classic. And like for the next week, like I was no longer hungover, but I was not just nauseous, like at baseline. And I was like, oh, I definitely have cancer.
Yeah.
Like I went to the doctor. I was like full on a crazy person. We went to Europe on tour and like, I think I had like two beers the whole time I was over there. It was like I had to have a Guinness, you know.
But yeah.
I drank like, my face off when we went to Europe.
Oh yeah, the Guinness is like my favorite beer. So.
Same. And I don't. People say it's different over there. I think it is, but it's all mental. I feel like right?
I do too. I mean, you can get good ones and bad ones anywhere. You know?
Yeah, draft beer in general, I think, is something you have to do correctly at a bar.
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
You can really mess that up quickly. And I know that I have like a kegerator. I haven't had a keg in it for a long time, but. It's like, if you don't clean that line before you put the next keg on, it's going to taste like trash, you know? So it's imagine that at the bar every single time you change a keg, you're running fluid through it and cleaning it.
Yeah. I was, after we came back from Europe, I had this awesome time playing all these shows and drinking all this Guinness and really eating and just loving life. I came home and I was in Florida visiting my parents and my buddy Nick and I went out to a bar and I'm like, I'm going to get a Guinness. It was like my first draft Guinness since or first Guinness at all after coming back, and it was skunk.
Oh man!
And I was like, "Hey, with the bartender, I'm like, hey, it's a skunk." He's like, "I'll pour you a Smittix or something." I was like, "Okay, skunk." And I went through like four beers, and they all tasted terrible. He goes, "You know what? How about I get you a bottle beer? What do you want?" I'm like, "Let me get a Bud Heavy bottle, classic." No. Opens it, hands it to me, opens it, and it was warm. I was like,
just wasn't the right bar.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah.
You should have got a motorcycle right then.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Brutal, man. So how was the Europe shows for you guys?
I mean, it was crazy. They were really good. You know, it all culminated at the O2, which was like, you know, I mean, it's a festival, crazy. But, you know, it was a sold out thing. And, we'd been playing arenas all this, you know, last year. So it was like, oh, my God, this feels like. We're like a show that we would be playing back in the States, and it was great. And you know the brothers were out there with us, and they came up and with El King, and we played Cocaine, which is cool. I just love hanging out with those guys. They're such a hoot. So
I'm getting to hear Don play guitar is a treat, man.
Oh yeah, man. It was fun.
Well, we're here to talk about your new music, though.
Yeah.
Why don't we get into that?
Let's do it.
I've been listening to the new record a lot.
Oh,
so
they
really
sent
fun.
It to us early, so we promised not to share it. But.
All good.
tell us about how you, because I know you were a songwriter, of course, and you were kind of doing the artist thing before you guys all formed up, right?
Well, no, actually, I mean, I have been, you know, since I was 15 years old in a band, you know, trying to make it, you know. So I had record deals before, always in a band, and always really playing lead guitar in whatever the band was. You know, we were signed to Atlantic, blah blah blah. And when I moved here, though, I was like, I'm done with being in bands. I almost quit music before I moved to Nashville.
Wow.
Just because you know I had been driving around in vans and everything for the 10, you know, already like just exhausted.
You already lived that life.
Yeah, but. My dad kind of convinced me to keep going down here. So I moved here strictly to just be a songwriter.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. But then, like, instead of waiting tables, you know, I would play guitar for other artists. Like, I would play for, like, Brett Eldridge or whoever, you know, on the road.
Yeah, cool.
So I was a sub for the Old Dominion's guitar player for a while. Like, because he was playing for Hunter Hayes, and they were banned a long time before I joined, and they didn't have a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
So whenever he would play for Hunter Hayes, I would play for them for $100 or whatever.
What year was this?
It's probably, God, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago, maybe. So then eventually they asked him, they're like, dude, you got to decide whether you're in our band or Hunter Hayes. And he was like, well, I got to pay my bills. So then they asked me to be in it. And I'm like, All right, I guess I'll just one more time, you know. So then, of course, it worked. So I forget what it's been great, you know. Just I went to college with some of those guys, and we're so lucky to be friends. But you know, there was just a lot of over the years. There's just so many songs that get written, and some of them are not for the band, you know.
Yeah,
and it was just time for me to just. I just started this, not even to put it out. I mean, I literally just made it because I wanted to. You know, at this time I had like the funds to just do it myself, go in the studio, do whatever.
And you self-produced, right?
I self-produced 4 of the tracks.
Yeah,
and then 2 were done by Mark Sebelia, and 1 was a demo that Ben West did. I wrote with Stephen Wilson Jr. And Ben, and I just, the demo was so good. I was like, I'm never going to beat this. I listened to the demo like, you know, a million times.
Demo
artist. So I just got it mixed, and that was it. Yeah.
That's great.
So
yeah, I remember seeing videos like of you doing stuff with Singleton back in the day.
Oh yeah. We had a band called Daisy Cutter back in the day with me, him, and Steve Sinatra and John Thomason. They were both playing for Little Big Town at the time. So we had this, it was cool. It was like total like funk kind of bluesy jammy band. I remember we got down in the basement of, remember that King Billy?
Mm-hmm.
They were like, had a house on Villa. And so we set up in the basement and we drew straws to see who was going to play the first note. Like we were just getting together to jam or whatever. So we're like, all right, John, you get it. And we just started playing some bass thing. And it was fun. It was like, honestly, some of the most fun I've had playing music.
You were playing bass?
No, I was playing guitar. Oh, okay. And me and Singleton, we would, you know, each switch off singing, you know. Yeah. So we probably only wrote 12 songs or something like that. We played a few shows and that was it, you know.
Yes.
I'd love to hear that on Earth.
Me too.
Oh man, I know I got a bunch of CDs in the garage. I don't know if it's even online anymore. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's like Singleton had a record, The Getaway, which I loved.
Oh yeah.
And it used to only be on Spotify and now it's not on there anymore.
Oh really?
And I like try to go back and show it to people who are on road trips and stuff. I'm like, listen to this record. And
so I there's a song on there. Do you know that song Revelry?
Yeah.
So that's me and him and God, what's his buddy? I'm terrible. I should know this guy's name, but anyway, another guy that was in his band.
Yeah,
we recorded that at Welcome to 1979.
Yeah,
and we recorded it live to vinyl, like in one take, all around one mic. It was one of my favorite things I've ever done. It's just such
super
a cool vibe.
There's a lot of cool stuff on this new record. Some of it, I feel like you said. You know, the songs don't have a home on the OD stuff. I can definitely see like the Church Bells and Train Whistles. I could hear like the boys doing that one.
But I actually tried to get them to do it, but they didn't want to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they missed out. But there's also some stuff on here that is kind of like, it reminds me of like more classic rock stuff. Like there's the one where it's just like kind of like While My Guitar Gently Weeps kind of a vibe solo when it's like rocking.
Oh, yeah. The Lover and a Friend.
Yeah, Lover and a Friend.
Beatles.
Yeah,
kind of vibe,
for sure. I love it. Nasty guitar playing on that, too.
I'm going to say, that's one thing. I did not, I maybe played one electric guitar on this whole record.
Yeah.
That's Chris Donegan playing guitar.
It sounds great.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, because when I told that to our manager, he was like, what? I'm like, yeah, man, I just wanted to play. Like, acoustic is kind of my favorite guitar to play. You know?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of do that and let everyone else do their thing on it.
It's funny, when I think of, like, Old Dominion, and I think of the guitar playing on those records, it's like single coil and just tasty tones all the time and all the hooks and parts and stuff like that. So like I feel like there's a lot of that kind of stuff on this record too. So like I always think back, I think I opened for you guys up in like 2015, 16 when I was playing for Michael Ray. And I remember just being like side stage or backstage and just, you guys always have great guitar tone. You guys always play such cool guitars too.
Thank you.
Like Tellys and Mustangs and all kinds of.
Oh yeah, I just got a nice 335 like a couple months ago. So that's kind of been my new
little
toy.
Baby.
Yeah,
I love it.
Hell yeah! Well, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff on this record too. I think the Parallel Love is fun, and I love the mod.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
a good mod.
Oh yeah,
love it. That song is. I mean, that's like the country tune on the record for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, I wrote that. I had kind of that the chorus. I brought it into my buddy Dan Isbell, who writes a lot for, he's been around, you know, me and him and Singleton were like hanging out way back when, you know.
Oh yeah. He was Luke's guitar tech. So yeah. We toured together. Yeah,
yeah, Luke's guitar tech. That's, yeah.
I wish you could see him running out to the end of the thrust to go get a guitar and come back.
Yeah.
We're all in the talk about Mike's like, run, Dan.
I was going to say, I can't picture him running really anywhere. But, yeah. No, he's such a great dude.
He's got a podcast too.
Yeah.
Shout
him and his
God's
bro.
Country, yeah.
Yeah.
And Reed, yeah. Love those guys.
But. You know, he's just as country as it comes.
As chicken shit, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I think he said it was just one of those enjoyable days where it was just the two of us sitting in a room and everything he said, I was like, oh, yes. And then I would say, like, yeah. It was just like this enjoyable, like, because, you know, you're old friends, but you don't see each other a lot. And then you just have this great communication through songwriting. And then you're just catching up. And it was just a great day where you're like, oh, man, what a great life, you know?
Yep. I feel like almost a little bit of Childers-esque vibes on that track too. You know, just like in that
set. For sure.
It's a cool song. That's honestly one of my favorites from the record that I've listened
to
as well.
Thanks. Yeah, that's Tranny Anderson singing on it. Who's a great
I was going to ask too. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tranny's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool sounds too, like some like kind of major seventh kind of vibes where it's like almost like kind of funky disco kind of stuff. And then some stuff that kind of reminds me of like, even like Elton John-ish or something? Or?
Yeah, there's that Quest in the Universe has that, a lot of those major seven chords. Yeah, so
that's Quest in the Universe. Yeah.
That's kind of like, you know, Mark Sebelia, you know, it kind of sounds like, I mean, I played the piano, I sang the song, you know, I played a little acoustic, but he's playing the drums, bass, all the crazy sounds and the organ and the whirly, and so... He's a talented guy. And he's like he's a Northeaster like myself. So we had that going on for us.
Where are you from
admit
originally?
That, but you know.
Where are you from originally?
Connecticut originally.
Okay. Yeah.
I've lived here like probably 16, 17 years now.
Mm-hmm. I've been here 2012. Damn, that's 12 years.
12 years. Yeah.
12 years in a 10-year town. Getting old, man.
I just I moved down at COVID, so October 2020. So
where are you from?
Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area.
All right.
Yeah, one of my first times I saw you guys play was the Hard Rock Cafe before a Kenny Chesney show the night before.
Like in Nashville?
No, in Pittsburgh.
Oh, in Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was probably those little pop up shows or whatever.
They were like the show before the show, and then of course on tour there. I actually have a funny moment of like before Rage Rowdy existed where I went to CMA Fest a couple years in a row with a bunch of my buddies and we went to your guys' show at the HGTV stage.
Oh yeah. In that barn.
And I went the one year and then we came back the next year and my buddy won tickets for it and brought me.
Yeah.
And that one had a meet and greet. And I think Matt was like, you were here last year, weren't you? And I was like, what?
Yeah. Wow. Because that's good. What a good memory.
Yeah.
The Garth Brooks memory.
It's crazy. I was like, how did he remember that? And he's like, yeah, you were up front singing all the words. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That threw your underwear on stage. It's weird, man.
Yeah. Super weird. No, but it was cool. That was one of those moments where I was like, dang, that's crazy. He remembered a year later, you know, all of that. But
yeah,
so sure. I don't work in radio or anything like that. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, I'm the worst.
Memory's
I'm
tough.
The worst.
I'm very good at faces, but names are
I'm the same
tough.
Way. I remember you. I know where I remember you, but I don't. Like your name is, you know, most likely going to escape me.
Yeah. I try to.
I think it's when I introduce myself, I'm not really listening. I'm just like looking at the person like, okay, who is this person? You know what I mean?
Well, and then you're trying to make sure that the conversation goes well. So it's like, am I trying to remember what's happening or am I trying to do my best to put this conversation at the front end of the thing that's happening?
Right.
That's why we have publicists. Yeah.
That's right.
Help us out.
But so in terms of the songs, you said it's stuff that kind of has been around for a while. What's the oldest song that you have on the record?
Oh, man. The oldest one is there's two that have kind of came about the same time. The Where You Been and then Oh Darlin', which is kind of that like interlude-y song. So that's one song that my girlfriend actually was like, you should make that into like a... And I was like, that's actually a really good idea. So that song, those two are at over 10 years old. I think they're probably 12 years old.
Awesome.
So those are the oldest, and the newest one, I would say all the other ones are relatively in the last, you know, 3 to 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been an Old Dominion fan. I think the first time I saw your guys' name was you guys were playing Jake Owen's outdoor, like, festival thing.
Yeah, you mean like in Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like,
I wasn't
Cadillac
there.
3, I think, was on.
Yeah,
it.
I wasn't there, but I remember seeing that lineup and, like, looking up all of the bands that were on it, mm-hmm. and that's when I found.
That was pretty close to the beginning, I feel like.
Yeah. That's when I found, like, your guys' stuff originally, and I think at that point, like, you'd had some of the songs that were, like, your guys' versions of songs you wrote that other people would cut, and that's the kind of stuff that I could find online.
Yeah.
So I've been a fan of songwriters for a while, ever since I figured out that that was a thing, you know, that wasn't always the artist that wrote their song, or at least they were writing it with buddies, you know? Yeah. So it was super cool seeing you guys kind of, like, get to do that together.
Yeah.
How often do you get to write now?
I mean, I still write all the time.
Yeah.
I probably write, I don't know, 2 to 3 times a week if I'm in town, you know? I love it. You know, it's like, it's, and honestly, more and more lately though, I have been writing by myself.
Yeah.
Just cause, you know, after a while I'm just like, you know, it's fun to make up some stories and stuff sometimes, but then it's a whole different thing when you're just really writing a song about your own self, and, you know, you get to say whatever you want. So it kind of, it's nice to have both, because when you're going to write a, you know, a song for somebody else, you've kind of, like, already scratched that itch, so you're not as like, oh man, I wish I didn't have to say this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems, I'm not of course a writer, but
I think you should be. I think you should get in the writing room, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably write Cruise or something. You
know? Never know.
I love Cruise.
No.
Hell yeah.
Never
but
know.
It's one of those things where, for me, it's the personal stories are great. And I think that's, I mean, you've written enough where you know how to properly write a song with co-writers as well as by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've done that thing, that mechanism enough. So
when
you're getting to do it yourself and it comes out at the end, it's exactly like you said, it's your version of that thing. It's how you see it.
Right. And that was direction. How the whole thing went. It's how I wanted it to sound. It's how I wanted it, you know, it was just purely artistic. And, you know, when I finished it, that, you know, that I gave it to our manager and Taylor Lindsay at Sony. And I was like, I made this, you know, and they're like, this is amazing. Like, what's your plan? And I was like, honestly, if you guys didn't like it, that was the end of my plan. I was going to send it to my mom and pretty much call it a day. You know, it was just truly just something I wanted to do. For, you know, just because.
I think that's the heart of music.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's why you do it, is so that you can express yourself.
Yeah.
And it's great that you have a platform now where you get to share this with the world.
Sure. I mean, that was the other thing, is like, it's like, there's truly no pressure on this. And I mean, I hope people like it, of course. And, but, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have Old Dominion, and this, you know, if everyone hates this, oh, well, let's just go back to my, you know, other thing.
I think part of it is you having, I mean, people are going to like it because it's stuff. I mean, I've listened to it. So first of all, but it's also, it's getting to know you, right? So people that are a fan of the band and know you now are going to kind of get to delve a little bit deeper into who you are and the kind of music that you love and the things that, you know, fits into your world.
Yeah. And even like some people at the label are like, oh, now I see like kind of what you bring to the band. You know? And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's I think that's a super important thing. And something that maybe as a band is harder to do, because you kind of have to show each of you guys a little bit, and it's also how you are together.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's kind of the thing about a band is, I mean, I played this for Charles Kelly, and, you know, who's also in a band, and he actually said it perfectly. He's like, oh man, I love this. He's like, you know, it's nice to just come at it purely artistically. He's like, you know, when you're in a band, he's like, you're basically always compromising, which you are, you know. And after a while, you know, that can you can build up a little bit of a, he said, like, resentment. You know what I mean? Because you're constantly like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. But I mean, that's what makes the band the band. And that's just what sometimes you get your way and sometimes you don't, you know. But with this, it's like you get your way all the time.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, you have how many solo rights did you have on this record?
Let me see. One, to, I think, four maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, four.
So, I mean, of the 10 songs, some of which are interludes, four are just, you know, 100%ers for you. Which
yeah. And some of the other ones are like, I would have a bunch of it and then I brought it in to finish it.
Someone else.
Yeah.
So when does the record come out and like, are you going to play any shows or?
Yeah, man, it comes out July 19th. And then, there's going to be a tour in October and November, a little bit of November.
Like a Brad tour?
Yeah, which I was sick. Our booking agent was like, oh, yeah, like, well, I have this show. I'm like, how do you already have shows? I'm like, no one's even heard this. Like, how am I going to sell you tickets?
So you bring a band with you, of course. Yeah.
Got a band. I'm putting it together. I have a show on the 17th of July just for like a industry in town thing.
Yeah.
So I'm getting some of the guys that played on it for that and then some of the people. But then, you know, I gotta find, you know,
the road crew.
Figure out the road band, you know. So it's cool. Like there was a guy, Greg Carrillo. He's the first dude who's been like, I'm in. I used to play with him in Brett Eldridge's band. He's an amazing guitar player, but he wants to play bass on. I'm like, all right, fine. Bass player.
There you go. That's probably one of the harder spots to fill sometimes.
Yeah.
I remember Kurt talking too. Talk about like how you kind of miss the smaller club shows.
Oh yeah, I mean I don't know what size venues you'll play, but it's always fun to, you know, you play the O2, and it's great, it's awesome. You go out there and it's, how many people are in there? 20,000 people, something like that. But this past fall we went and did, you know, with Luke, we went and played a bunch of arenas and bigger clubs and stuff like that. And the way it was booked, it was clubs first, and then once they sold out, then the rooms got upgraded, but a couple of them didn't get upgraded, and this one in Paris like didn't, and it was like a 1200 cap room.
Yeah,
like haven't done that.
Best.
Oh,
and that's the thing is you can't fully appreciate it until you've gone to the bigger rooms.
Yeah,
and then you come back and you're like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. Like it probably is feeds or scratches a different itch. You know, getting to play to that more intimate crowd again.
Yeah, like I'm excited to even like maybe use monitors instead of ears. Like, you know, be like
there,
just in there. You know,
maybe and even go in a van instead of a bus.
No. That's where I draw the line.
Brad Tersey plays Warped Tour 2025.
Dude, we followed that. I was in a band that we followed some of that Warped Tour.
Crazy.
Yeah, the van days.
Yeah,
I'll get into a 15-passenger van now, just a runner, and I'm like, get anxiety. I'm like, oh God, give me
PTSD. Like, make it stop. Well, that's the good part about still being in Old Dominion. You can just bring a bus; you'll be fine.
Right, exactly.
But that's awesome. Are you any specific dates, or are you going to be doing like full band and having an opener? How's that?
No, it's I think it's going to be a build like an evening with.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm going to. I mean, at least my plan now is to. There's supposed to be an intermission. I guess people like intermissions. So there'll be, I'll start off by myself and then like kind of gradually, you know, I'll probably do a couple songwriter songs, some new stuff that I haven't recorded.
Yeah.
And then, you know, bring kind of piece by piece to the band, and then we'll have a break and then probably play the record.
Yeah.
On the second half.
Straight
and
through.
Some other, yeah. And then some other, like,
cool.
You know, maybe a couple.
Gotta play the hits.
Gotta play the hits.
Yeah.
Finish with one man band.
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, hey, whatever.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's so cool to get to see that and stuff that before I was in the industry I never really thought about, you know, like artists getting to do their own thing. And I mean, of course, I'm a big music fan forever. So getting to see like Cornell do Euphoria Morning and like kind of like explore that himself, which was such a different sound than what I knew him for. Country, of course, is maybe a slightly easier thing to do acoustic, and you know, it's more like in that wheelhouse. But I think your genre it crosses over multiple genres too, even just with the production that you guys have on it, you know, not being like large guitars on a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of hear, like we talked about, like rock influences. You hear, of course, country influences,
mm-hmm.
but it's a funky. It's a fun record.
Yeah, it kind of just, you know, it draws from, you know, several different places for sure.
Is there any track that means more to you than the others, or any one you have a story behind or anything?
Oh God, I mean, there's the Question of the Universe is actually a funny story.
Yeah.
So
is it a true story?
Yes, this is a true story.
Okay.
That I mean, it's a long story, but I'll try to.
We got enough tape.
Yeah. Okay. We're good.
So, and although I don't even have to freaking not name names, because this dude, Teddy Robb, is the dude. He recorded the song and he put it out because it's about him that I wrote, you know. So he had met a girl, you know, at Red Door one night. And
As you do.
That girl had a friend.
Yep.
So we all, you know, a bunch of us went to my house and, you know, hung out all night. And then the next morning, you know, they were in love. And but she was supposed to be moving to L.A. that next weekend to be with her boyfriend that was already out there, like, setting everything up. And then that weekend, you know, came so throughout that week, you know, I'm getting updates here and there, and I'm basically writing the song about those two, you know. Mm-hmm. And then she ended up still going to LA, but then a couple weeks later, I get a picture of them like on a ski lift together from them, and I'm like, oh, they're back together. So that song was like just kind of a real life interpretation of watching those two,
from afar,
go through their thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that one's kind of interesting. You know? Yeah. I always feel like that's the thing is like when you're writing like that, it's like about your truly from, and not that when you're writing commercial music, you're not using your own life too, but you know, you're also compromising with the other people that are in the room. Like,
yep.
It's easier when you can just, it's an actual thing that's happened to you. All you have to do is just say what happened, mm-hmm. but you know, with the melody, it's like you have to create anything. You don't have, you know, you have to pick out the sort of cool parts of the story. You know, mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah, and stuff that comes out easier tends to just be like less convoluted and more to the point, simpler, and that often translates to catchier or better or whatever.
I kind of like not that I'm a baker or whatever, but you know, like it's like if you have like dough or like something that's like overtouched, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it loses its form and it goes.
Sometimes I can tell, like, when I listen to a song, and I listen to a song, and if I like the song, I'm like, this is just a song. But if it's like overworked too much and the songwriters are too songwritery, then right. then you're like, I can hear them writing this. Is that like, I feel like I lose my immersion in it or something?
Absolutely, man.
Does that make sense?
And I think that's another, like, you know, the thing I was kind of conscious of is like I don't want it to have some like, you know, like a lot, most of the songs I grew up listening. I mean, I didn't necessarily grow up listening. Wasn't steeped in country music. You know, I knew Alabama and I, you know, like, but you know, not every song ended with a hook or any, you know, it was just some music that sounded cool that felt good and that made you feel good about listening to it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not scared of it not having some sort of a hook or anything, or I just want it to just be a cool song that is enjoyable to listen to, you know.
I love the interludes that you put in too. I feel like that's something that maybe we've lost with how single oriented the genre specifically in music in general is. Mm-hmm. So I love the little breaks. And I mean, it just makes me think of when I was younger. I'm 42, so it makes me think of like when I was younger, you'd have albums that would have like talking in between two tracks, right? Or
like a rap album where they're on the phone or something.
Like so Eminem and Dr. Dre or whatever, you know. But
I thought of like the Jamie Johnson record, that Lonesome Sound, which is like my favorite record of all time. Yeah,
great record.
And so like they have steel guitar in between everything.
Yeah,
this is like your kind of blues stuff in between.
Totally. It's again just kind of. Yeah, did it because it was cool, I thought it was cool, not for any other reason, you know.
But I think it is, and I think that's the cool part about a record and what still kind of gives records great value, in my opinion, is it kind of lets you express yourself in a different way than, hey, just listen to this one song, hey, just listen to this one song.
Right, right.
Kind of shows the journey, and it lets you kind of make it a cohesive unit of a project as opposed to just like, hey, here's 10 songs that I all thought were great and just throw them all together.
Right.
You know?
And it makes it sound the vinyl fun too if you do a vinyl pressing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can't help but, you know, if you've been an artist or a band for a long time, you know, like you know, commerce and making a living becomes part of the deal.
Yeah.
And it can only, you know, it seeps in a lot of good ways and sometimes in not good ways. But, mm-hmm. you know, this was, unfortunately, this one was prior to all of that stuff. So I didn't have to take any of that into account, which was nice. So.
What a blessing to be able to do that.
It really is. I've had
other songwriter buddies that, like Rob, has put out a couple records. My buddy Rob Wolford, he's written a bunch of Luke's big hits with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's like, I'm just going down to fame in Muscle Shoals and making records for fun and just to reignite that love.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, getting in, you know, 11 to 2 every day on Music Row. Man. It's like, let's do something weird and let's put weird chords.
Forget why you did it, what you liked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And I mean, again, yeah, lucky enough to have Old Dominion and those guys and, you know, the journey we've been on. And yeah, it's allowed me to do that, which is very lucky.
I know it sounds like they are in on the record too, like loved that you did it, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it might have caught them a little bit by surprise,
because
I didn't talk about it much, you know. But they were nothing but supportive.
That's awesome.
So yeah,
I don't know you guys at all, but it seems like you guys are just a band of brothers, which I love.
Well, yeah, and especially now, I think we've all been through enough therapy that we're very good at communicating now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, whereas some other discussion in the past might have, like, people would be pissed or this. Or
yeah.
Like, or like, okay, I see that, but, you know.
what good band doesn't have a little bit of that stuff?
Absolutely.
I love Metallica, and they put that movie out where they're all, like, fighting and they're in therapy or whatever. You know, like the behind-the-scenes stuff.
We haven't done any group therapy, but separately.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm sure you guys are all, I mean, when you travel, you guys are all on buses and stuff together, so it's like...
Yeah, we keep it all on one bus, because, you know, it's like, I feel like once you stop that, we would never see each other.
Yeah.
Except for when we're on stage, you know? And that's what's, we laugh our asses off all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm, Kurt always has, like, his, the band bus, and everyone, like, has that, and then the crew buses, and it's just a, you know, a whole different groups of different people, and getting to see everybody interact with each other, super cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When I go on, like, Chessie's bus, I'm like, oh, this would be nice to have.
Yeah,
giant bed in the middle. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I know, like, Luke Bryan has, like, a cigar fan in his front lounge that, like, sucks air out.
Really?
So he can just sit in a chair and just smoke cigars on his bus.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds pretty premium.
I would be, like, I would be for sure have lung cancer if that was the bus. I would just be smoking so many cigars.
I know.
Me and Kurt went down to a show in Atlanta. Well, not Atlanta.
Athens.
Flatland Cavalry was playing, so we drove down, and Kurt was like, you want to smoke cigars in here? And I was like, bro, it's your car, like, you tell me.
Oh yeah.
So we did, and he's like, the next day he was like, it really smells like cigars in here. I'm like, that's what I told you.
Not anymore though.
Yeah.
You can't do it all the time.
No. Yeah,
even
yeah.
like in the house, maybe twice a year.
Yeah
I'll like put a movie on, I'll open up all the windows and just sit on the couch and just smoke one in the camp.
Yeah, my dad does that, or he used to.
Yeah.
But then I just leave all the windows open overnight, and then I it doesn't smell at all.
Should be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you don't do too much.
But it's your house, dude. So who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you own it.
Worst case, you pay someone to clean really well. You know.
Right. Yeah.
I do that too. Like, I'm smoking on the porch, and I'm like, I gotta pee, so go inside. And I'm just like, should I leave my... No, I don't want my cigar to go out.
Yeah.
Bring it with me. I own this house. Who cares? wasn't my landlord going to get mad at me? Right.
Freedom, baby.
Yeah.
That's it.
Come and take it, dude. You know what I'm saying? Cigs inside.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I do like... I guess it sounds like you're kind of in the East area.
Oh, yeah.
What's that bar? Shulman's.
Shulman's.
Oh, dude, I have never seen a bar or anything become that successful right from the beginning.
So great.
Well, you can smoke in the back room.
It's like two bars in one.
Yeah.
It's really a genius.
And the burger there.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's great. The pastrami sandwich is great. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I was a bartender, I would be like, this is my favorite place to work ever. Because you're like, can I get a margarita? They're like, no. They have three drinks that are all pre-batched.
Yep.
And then they have the beers. And it's like, that's it. It's just like easy.
Great.
I'm like, may I have a beer? And they're like, yeah, you want a shot too? I'm like, they're like, I'm doing one, so do you want to do one? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's great. It really has added a nice thing. I mean, I've lived over in East my entire 17 years, so I've seen a lot of come and go. And even in that particular spot, there was probably four or five different things.
Yeah, there's a brewery there.
Brewery was like a weird, like, supermarket that didn't have anything you needed. Like,
Franz was over there.
Yeah, yeah. Franz behind it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's literally right next to my house, so we go there sometimes.
Yeah.
It's been a minute, but also the Abbey, of course, which yeah. is the real spot.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that I was in there, and my buddy Quentin was bartending, and I was like, oh, I didn't know you were here. And he was like, yeah. He's like, this place rules. And I was like, it feels like your favorite dive bar, but upscale, yeah. but also has some of the things that make your dive bar your favorite dive bar.
I know. I love it. They just really killed it. You know, they're the same people that own Skulls Rainbow Room and all that stuff.
Nudies.
Yeah.
It's like a conglomerate, of course, but it's so fun.
But it's cool. Yeah. They're like a family. Like they're always in, because like Cafe Rose, that's like the Cheers for me. Like I would eat there like, you know, 3-4 times a week.
Right,
I
mean,
back when I was like getting hammered all the time, we would be in there a bunch of us just, you know, in the way of everyone at the bar. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
we had so many great, not brunches, but you know, like happy hours and dinners. And it's a great spot too. So,
I love East, man.
Yeah
it's so great. I love living there.
It is very nice. It's just, it's all, I remember when I first started going to East, it was like kind of, you know, mm-hmm. still a little seedy, and then I could like get a place there, and it was relatively inexpensive.
Yeah,
now not as much.
Yeah,
not
so much.
Yeah, it's nice now, but harder to get into for sure.
Yeah, you need a couple OD cuts for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you guys have a bar coming up opening.
Yeah.
Up too.
Oh shit! I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Odie's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think hopefully, I mean, this year I'm guessing September-ish. Yeah. But yeah, it was cool. The last time we like walked around it was like, you know, because first, you know, it used to be a rebar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They knocked it down. So when we first went out there, it was just a big lot of gravel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the building's up on it, it actually looks so much bigger. The whole place, I'm like, this place is giant. It's not a 6-story, you know, bar on Broadway, it's a big place, and we're super stoked, man. It's going to have great bands. There's a little food thing that I don't know if I'm supposed to be able to talk about it or not, but anyways,
there'll be food.
Yeah,
so there'll be
alcohol.
Food,
probably.
Yeah, alcohol.
Yeah, we love music, food, and alcohol,
whiskey, women, and you know,
good times. Maybe
and probably not
bar.
Six and
Todd.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you should. We should.
Brad
definitely
will be there bussing tables.
Oh yeah, you know? That's right.
So you're a cigar guy. What are some of your favorites?
Oh, you know, I don't necessarily have like a go-to brand, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just go down to Abbey usually, and like I don't like the big fatties, you know. I'm mm-hmm. like kind of like a Robusto kind of guy.
Yeah, yep. That's my preferred too.
Yeah, I tend to like Nicaraguan mm-hmm. tobacco. So you know, I just go with some of those, a couple of those, what are they, Plasencia,
yeah,
whatever,
really good.
Those are,
have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And just kind of whatever looks like it's going to be good mm-hmm. that they have, because they have a lot of rotating stuff.
Oh yeah, they do a really good job of having a lot of craft brands.
Yeah,
and like rotating through them, totally. So they'll have like a bunch of Tatuaje stuff, and then in 6 months they'll only have like one or two boxes of that, and they'll have something else that they brought in to kind of like replace that.
Totally,
to keep
totally.
It fresh.
Yeah, I kind of like that they're this like sort of boutique-y sort of things, you mm-hmm. know.
I think they do a great job with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, we're Crown Heads fans, so I love that they have all of the new Crown Heads as soon as they come in too.
Oh yeah, like I remember when they first, I mean, they've just been so many lines of it now, but that Las Calaveras,
yeah,
like the first couple of those were so good.
Man. I just smoked the 2023 one, and it was awesome.
Very,
good?
Very good. Yeah. I think they had them at we might have smoked them at Abbey.
Yeah. Probably sounds right.
Yeah, and they always have, like, I love the label on that one's great.
Mm-hmm. So
just
with
like
the skull.
I love this, the class. I love like I'm definitely a label guy when it comes to
me too
cigars.
Yeah,
there's this cool, I guess you'd call it product or subscription, where this dude will mail you cigars. It's called Standard and Twain, and they mail you cigars with the labels off, and then there's like a QR code, and then so you smoke it and you can like rate the cigar, like, and so Nick and I did this, so it's like, what do you think this is? Nick's like, this is probably a $17 cigar.
And yeah, we would like try to like value it in our head of like what we thought it was cost wise.
And I think we did really good.
We were pretty close.
And it made smoking it like you paid attention a lot more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some of these, like, you know, like Half Wheel and all these reviews, mm-hmm. they're like cherry pie mixed with, and I'm like, guys.
Yeah.
Tastes like dirt.
It tastes like earth and leaves. Yeah. And
burnt,
I mean,
tobacco.
Coffee sometimes, yeah. Maybe a little chocolate, yes. But I'm not getting cherry pie from anywhere. That's for sure.
No, that's for sure, too, for me. I'm like, this tastes good. And then I'm like, not as good, that one.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I mean, that, you know, obviously the draw. Like, I feel like Padrones are very, those are the most consistent. Yep. They're always, the draw is always perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's always good.
We literally just went and smoked at Casa de Monte Cristo, and I was like, I want to go get a really nice Padrone and just like treat myself.
Where is that, like a cigar bar or something?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Peg Leg Porker.
Yeah, like in that little downtown area.
Like the Gulch kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, and they have like Casa Fuentes, which you could only get in Vegas before at the shop. Now they're starting to send them to certain retailers, and then they have like the whole Padrone line, and they're not, you know, some shops overcharge like
$75.
Yeah. They're not, they're MSRP or darn close there, and they have the whole Padrone line. Padrone has my heart too.
Oh, yeah,
I love Crown Heads and everything about it, but if I'm ever like one stick that I'd have to die on, it's a Padrone anniversary series for sure.
Absolutely.
And then but they don't have any Davidoffs there, which
Ultimate Fancy Boy.
Yeah.
That's like $40 cigars.
Yeah, those ones are like once every 2 years for me.
See, I feel like those are those are more like, this is going to sound terrible because they are very good, but it's like the Patron of cigar. Like the brand is so giant.
It is.
That they can get away with charging that. Sometimes I smoke them and I'm like, that was good, but it wasn't.
It's a different experience.
Yeah, they're more milder.
Yeah.
More subtle.
Right, which I do like sometimes.
Yeah. Same. Mm-hmm. That's the thing for me. Like, when I smoke one of those, I'm like, this is like smoking a stick of butter, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's a different experience.
That's great.
Yeah.
You're like, it's great. But my favorites are a more medium to full bodied.
Yeah.
So, I mean, consistently, I would smoke a Padrone over that, or I'd smoke a Mil Diaz, honestly, over that, which is probably, I think Mil Diaz is probably my favorite of John's line, Crown Heads.
Like, they have the, what was it, like the Tennessee Waltz? Was
yeah, really good stick, too.
The orange band on it?
Yeah, really good stick.
Can we smoke in here? I'm like,
Kurt was like, it'd be great if we could smoke in here. I'm like, yeah, it would be, but we can't. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to.
Maybe one day.
Fire one of these up on the highway.
I was going to say, out there. We can smoke in Brad's car.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I don't, you know, I've smoked hundreds of cigarettes in my life, but I've never been a smoker. You know, like, I've never bought packs of cigarettes or anything.
Same.
Which, thank God, like, it just seems like something I, for some reason, don't get it. Like, have no desire to do unless I've had, like, you know, a bunch of beers and I'm just, like, having fun or whatever.
Yeah, I got to do one.
But my girlfriend and I, we started smoking them in that car, in that Camaro, and it's like, fuck it. I'm like, we got to stop this. Like, we got to, like, I've brought, like, 3 packs of cigarettes now, and that is enough. Like, I'm not getting caught in this.
This that trip. World. You're like, I know how addictive these things are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been a cigarette guy, but I started smoking cigars with my oldest brother, Steve, who's like 13 years older than me. And it was just our thing that we always did. And I never played golf or anything, which I know is like community based. But for me, cigars is a good way to meet people, a good way to like actually get to hang out with someone.
You're
sitting for an hour and chatting about whatever, you know, or Kurt and I often will catch up over cigars, you know.
Yeah. My dad is the reason I smoke them. He still smokes them now, but you know, he's always like, I got the top down, I'm smoking a cigar. I'm like, sweet.
Hell
dad.
That's great.
The dream.
Is he still up in the Northeast?
No, he's been in Charleston now for God 15, 20 years.
So you can do it a lot more often down there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He loves it down there.
That's great.
He's always smoking. He buys the cheap stuff, though. Like, you know, the bricks from like, whatever.
Yeah.
He's always like, you want a cigar? I'm like, I got one. Yeah. I got
Well, that's like,
hopefully
Matt.
He even doesn't hear this. He's like, I don't buy the cheap stuff.
My business partner, Matt, another cigar guy, too. And he smoked a cigar that someone had given us. And he was like, I looked at it and knew it wasn't going to be.
You
can kind of just tell. And sometimes that will... Like, I'll be like, oh, no, it was really good, you know, when it looks like it's not exactly right. But most of the time, it's like you can tell if you can't tell if you're going to like it, but you can tell if you're not going to like it.
You can't tell if you're going to like it, but you can tell if it's not going to be good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
There was a point in my life where I would smoke a bad cigar, you know, like when I was in college or something.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I got a job. I've got literally dozens. I probably have dozens of boxes of cigars. Yeah. Like, yeah. If I take a couple of puffs on something, it's not good. Just toss it out. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We call that in the band. There's this guy, Gil Cunningham, who's he's like a buyer, a talent buyer. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, our bass player, was like in catering, and Gil was behind him. And Jeff was like, I want to try the steak or whatever. But I don't know, I want the chicken. He's like, just get both of them. If you don't like one, just throw it out. Yeah. And it's like, Jeff was like, came back and just told the story. So now we say Cunningham it. We're like, you don't like that beer? Just Cunningham it.
Yeah. Yeah,
just toss it out.
It's so true, though. I mean, like, in beer is definitely that way. I remember like trying different beers when I don't drink as much as I used to, and I haven't really been drinking aggressively craft beers, but when I was really like heavy into craft beers.
Like, how many crappy IPAs can I possibly taste at this point?
I'm like, this one tastes bad. All right, I'm just going to drink it fast.
Right, you know? Right, exactly.
I'm like, that's why I do like the breweries with samplers, because then you can see if you like it and then decide which one you want to try a whole one of.
I've gone full circle. It's like, you start out with like Busch Light, Natty Light, PBR, and then you're like, oh, like Blue Moon, that's fancy, that tastes good. And then you get the Dogfish Head.
Yep.
I've circled back into the gas station beer phase.
Oh, yes. I'm like, Miller Lite, please.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what we're like. I'm like, Busch Light, Bud Light, if I'm having a beer, I don't want to have 100 of them. I just want to have like 4, and I want a crappy light beer right
and
now.
And I don't want to have 2 and be hungover.
Yes, exactly.
I love that.
Yes.
Bearded Iris Homestyle IPA. Yeah. It's so good.
But that's hangover season for me.
Lately, I don't know what it is. IPAs, I'll drink them and I'll immediately get a headache. I don't know if I'm becoming allergic to something in it or whatever. Old, totally, too old.
That's what happened to me, man. I'm like, what? I drank like 3 beers last night.
I know.
Bro, yeah.
I drank like 7 Bud Lights last night. I feel great.
We've been drinking these Surfsides. They're our primary round sponsor. We'll give you one of those.
Yeah, cool.
But they're iced tea vodkas, and they're like, no hangover, which is great.
Nice label. I like the packaging.
Dude, I know. They're great. We're super excited to have them in the fam.
That's awesome.
But they also like give us, so when we have our writers rounds, because we do like 10 to 12 events a month in town, like full band showcase, also a lot of writers rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave us so that we have product for everyone, so that you know, at least you get a little bit of a free beer.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's like Quintero Negra for us, the tequila.
Yeah.
They supply the whole tour with tequila. I mean,
you're
it's
like, let's go.
I don't know how many freaking bottles of tequila we go through, but it's nice of them.
I feel like tequila is as long as drank properly, is the one that I don't get hangovers from.
Honestly, I don't know what it is anymore. Like, I literally drank a bottle of wine the other night, and I woke up and I was like totally fine. I was like, how is that possible? And then I would again have a couple beers, and you're like, want to kill yourself?
I think it's sugar. Yeah,
yeah.
It's just, and all people were like, oh, I don't mix. I'm like, I don't even buy into that shit. I'm like, I'll have a freaking
a glass of wine,
a beer, and the same night.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm hungover, and sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's what I kind of slowed down drinking. I had a really bad hangover in December. It was like a 3-day hangover. I was just like, why am I doing this?
Oh, dude, I'm the same way. I was telling my girlfriend last night. I'm like, you know, at this bar, like a bunch of whiskey bottles. And I'm like, I haven't had whiskey in like, I can't even remember the last time. I used to just like, after going out to dinner and drinking, I'd come home and like have a whiskey. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that in forever. We're getting old, man.
I know. It's hard getting old, but it's better than the alternative.
It is.
It is. Amen, man.
But it's cool too, like figuring out that I don't have to have alcohol to have fun too.
I've honestly been drinking the NA beers too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you have a couple.
So good.
Yeah.
I have a couple of regular ones, and then I'll just like switch, you know. Evidently, the Guinness NA is supposed to be really good. I haven't had it.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, if you like Guinness.
It's supposed to be one of the best. I like the Corona NA because it literally tastes just like Corona Light, which is better than Corona, if you ask me.
I agree.
I mean, sometimes I'll find myself like actually wanting it. Like, I'm like, I want to that flavor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They also make like LaCroix that are beer flavored. They call it like hop water.
Hop water.
They have them at the Abbey.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty good. It just, that thing that you get from having a pale ale or an IPA, that's just that little bitterness.
Oh, yeah.
It has just a smidge of that, but it's basically a seltzer.
Yeah. I mean, those Athletic IPAs are
really good.
Yeah.
Athletic should make regular beer too, because honestly, flavor wise, they're so perfect.
Isn't it strange? You're like, it just came out of nowhere. So it was like the Red Bull of,
of NA beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is crazy. But they are great. And honestly, it's Nashville's definitely been a drinking town, and I mean, I've been traveling here before I lived here, but it is kind of starting to be more okay to not drink, right? Oh, yeah. Like, you're seeing that more, I think, in town. And honestly, these younger artists, a lot of them don't drink.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a good portion of these people that they're like, yeah, I don't really drink. And then the Delta 9 drinks, have you done any of that stuff?
No, I'm not much of a weed guy. I mean, like, yeah. I only smoke it if I've already had like 5 beers.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
I can
yeah.
smoke a million joints and I'm fine. But the thought of like getting high right now is like, scares me.
You're yeah. seeing those kind of come into market too. And I don't know if that's nationwide or if it's just kind of Nashville starting to embrace that, but it's interesting. Most of the bars you're at will have one of those too, you know, as yeah. an alternative.
It's just so. It's just too strong for me these days.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
It's superpower weed.
It's yeah. just too strong.
Yeah. Yeah, weed's crazy. That's what I'm like. I remember when we were younger, you could just get mids and you could smoke it and it weren't messed up, you know?
I found these things called Joy Bombs. They're mm-hmm. like little Skittles and they're just like 2.5.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like...
That's I have had some edibles. Of course, I didn't bring them here because it's illegal, but 2.5 milligrams when we were up in Illinois. And that's what I'm like, it's perfect. You just pop that and you just makes your forget. Knees not hurt. Yeah, you know?
Just, just forget almost. You're just like, oh, I'm laughing really hard. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm standing at this festival all day and it's fine. Yeah. yeah. Our festival life's a little different than your guys, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, if it's... Hiding on the bus.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
catering.
Yep.
On the bus.
God bless Hell that, yeah. though. Well, man, thanks for coming out here and telling us about the new music.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I can't wait for it to be out in the world. When you guys release that that tour poster, too, we got to make it out to a show. That'd be great.
Yeah, and you got to let me know when you guys are at Abbey. I'll walk down and we'll.
Oh, yeah.
Sure okay, one. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. We're there a good bit. Not as much in the when it's really, really nice outside, we'll smoke on Kurt's porch.
Oh, yeah.
But now, because it's so hot, and then when it's cold, we're there often.
Yeah,
so.
Make sure you hit me up.
Absolutely. Well, dude, it's been great to get to meet you, too, formally, and thanks for being on the podcast, and thanks for putting great music into the world.
And July 19th, is that what you said?
Yes, July 19th it comes out, yes.
Okay.
All right, great.
We're going to be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We get to hear it early, but that's one of the perks of this job.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row.